Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier with your Libra Equinox energy reading. The change of seasons, the chart for the change of seasons is the birth day of the season. And so, the information and the transmissions that we receive from the chart, are really helpful in navigating the next 3 months. And this is a bit of a doozy. There is a solar eclipse the day before the equinox. So the equinox this year is on September 22nd and the eclipse is on September 21st. They are within 24 hours of one another and therefore they are really amplifying each other's energies. And a great deal of what's true on the 21st is also true on the 22nd, except that the sun shifts from the last degree of Virgo to the first degree of Libra. So, some of the themes are similar. I'm going to talk to you first about the eclipse. Now, and also, many of you already know that every year we have two eclipse seasons. And so it's a regular, normal part of, astrology. Sometimes I hear things on YouTube where people are, making more of an eclipse than we should. Yes, it is a time of accelerated change. And yes, it amplifies and sets things in motion for the next 6 months, amplifies the energies and sets things in motions for the next 6 months. And it sets themes. And yes, we do see the outer world does often become more chaotic, more turbulent, but also more transformational during times of eclipses. It is a time that we can see what is unseen, where the shadows come out, and that helps us to transform. In a solar eclipse that we're happening on the 21st, what's happening is the sun, the earth, and the moon are all lined up. In fact, the reason that there's a solar eclipse is that the moon is blocking the sun, the earth's seeing the sun. For a short period of time and then comes back. And also eclipses are associated with, an acceleration of timings because like they bring water to a boil fast in terms of our processes. Because, for a lunar eclipse, all the phases of the moon happen within an hour or two. And in a solar eclipse, we go from day to night. And then back to day, but quickly in a short period of time. And it shifts the Earth's magnetic field. It shifts, the gravitational field. It alters our frequencies quite a lot. So eclipses are wild cards and they're activators and they tend to focus on beginnings and endings. And they highlight the theme that we're collectively working with the nodes of destiny. And eclipses come in pairs. There's a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse, and they're a few weeks apart. So this year we had a lunar eclipse on September 7th. The moon was in Pisces, and the sun, of course, was in Virgo. And on September 21st, we are having a solar eclipse at the last degree of Virgo. And I do want to bring your attention to the fact that in August, on the 24th, we had a new moon in Virgo at 0 degrees, the very first degree. And now we're having a second new moon, which is rare, called a blue moon, at the very last degree of Virgo. So I feel that I want to talk to you quite a bit about Virgo, what it is that we are releasing and how we are resetting and the archetype of Virgo and how Virgo has been misunderstood, and that for each of us to come to a new understanding within ourselves and a way to honor and activate the beautiful mysteries of the Virgo Mystery School. So 29 degrees is a culmination degree. It's a wisdom degree, but it's also a degree of transition, the death degree, because we are getting ready, Virgo is getting ready to transition to a new sign the following day. 29 degrees Virgo is the last degree. After comes Libra. So tomorrow, the 22nd will be 0 degrees Libra. And the eclipse portal is happening within a day of that equinox. It is on the south node of the moon. And the south node is a place that we are releasing. And it offers release, refinement, and deep healing, and an opportunity to reset before the equinox, where we are being asked to step into more balance, stillness, different aspect of different archetype. Libra is about valuing the light and the dark equally. All over the world on the equinox, there's 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. And Libra is all about partnership and relationship and refining that. And what's interesting is that the first six zodiac signs ending in Virgo are about the development of self. And then the next six are about how we take that self and we bring it into the world in different ways. And with Libra, it's all about relationship and partnership and beauty and peacemaking and mediation and bringing balance and harmony and beauty into the world. But right before, we have this eclipse, and the eclipse is the darkening of the sun. And so it's interesting that we are being asked to look at our shadow, to feel. And eclipses, by the way, you know, they happen on a specific date. However, we feel them for about a month before they come in. The energies of that eclipse are coming in, and we are working with them for 6 months. If it's happening in your chart, if you have planets somewhere between 25 degrees of Pisces or Virgo or Sagittarius or Gemini, and 29 degrees, or like 0 degrees to 4 degrees, Libra, Aries, Capricorn or Cancer, this is very personal for you. And it takes about 2 years to work through the themes that get brought up. And it, again, it's not a specific, it happens on a specific day, but the effects are felt and worked with strongly over the next 6 months as themes for us collectively and in your life. So what's very interesting is that the time of the eclipse and of the equinox, all of the outer planets are at, you know, within 1 degree of each other, at about the 1 degree mark. And they are also, the equinox is 0 degrees and the eclipse is 29 degrees, very close to 1 degree, 1 degree away. So all of these outer planets are speaking and singing to the eclipse portal and the equinox portal and to each other. So all of the big outer planet initiators, Neptune and Saturn and Uranus and Pluto, are within 1 degree of each other and within 1 degree of the eclipse and the equinox. And what that means is they are amplifying all of their effects at this time. They are singing to one another, and they are singing new frequencies because they're in new harmonics with one another that have never been felt before. And this, my friends, is changing us and changing our reality. There are several other, I'm going to like tell you some of the things I'm going to be talking about. And then I'm going to talk about Virgo. There are also several other, planetary bodies that are, amplifying all of this. And, well, I'm not going to talk about that yet. It's too confusing. We're going to go back to the eclipse. So, at an eclipse, the sun, the earth, and the moon line up, and the sun's light is blocked by the moon. And so we see the shadow of the moon crossing the sun. And these eclipses are wild cards, and they're activators, and they shift us. And 29 degrees Virgo is asking us to let go of dense, heavy energies that we've been carrying around. And in fact, that the Virgo archetype has been carrying around, and ways that the Virgo archetype has been projected on by the culture. It's a time of cleansing, healing, resetting, and releasing. And it's a time to be thinking about, what are you conscious of releasing right now? And what are you aware of is actually releasing you? You are being called to be in more presence with yourself. You are being called to be in more presence with your soul, with your original blueprint, and with the flow of life as it unfolds. So Virgo is an earth sign, and it is in service to spirit. This mystery school is associated with the ancient past, present, and future keepers of this wisdom, who are priestesses, who are medicine people, who are shamans and mystics. And I want to say that many astrologers are talking about the full depth of Virgo, but what happened in astrology is that when astrology started to get written down in the Western world, it was written down by monks, and they did not care for, you could say, the Celtic priestesses and priests, the ones who were singing to the sunrise and the sunset every day and working with goddess energy and working with earth energies and behaving as if the god in all life mattered and that spirit was in all things. And this archetype loves the earth, is tending the earth, is totally in service and dedicated to honoring all life. And so these people were killed, actually, and annihilated by the very priests that were describing the archetype of the priestess. So it kind of got described in its shadow aspect. So when we think of Virgo, we often think, well, we think of many things, but it's very well known for being critical, cold, judgmental, overly analytical, worried, overly anxious, can't see the forest through the trees. And yes, that is the shadow of Virgo. Every archetype has a shadow side. And when Virgo's out of balance, that's what comes up. And that's what actually we are releasing, some of that now. In particular, what we're releasing is some of the sense of self-deficiency that we carry, that sense of lack, that we need to constantly improve or heal, instead of focusing on our innate wholeness. It's how we overcompensate for our feelings of deficiency. And Virgo tends to strive for perfection. And I'll tell you why, partly because Virgo can see patterns of perfection so deeply. But the shadow is that this stems from, a belief that something is fundamentally wrong with us or with the world. And there can be a sort of almost an addictive need for repair, always seeing the web as which part of the web needs to be repaired rather than focusing on the wholeness or the beauty of the web, even though the web is not perfect. And this is that aspect of us that needs to remember that our wounds, our imperfections are part of our curriculum, and that we can learn from them and grow from them. And that a fixation on perfection does get in the way of being in the flow of life. And so that sense of being addicted to self-improvement versus trusting our unfolding process, and that we are always going to be in a process. We are never going to be in a state of perfection. And we are, with this South Node Moon eclipse, being asked to release the habit of seeing our identity as deficient somehow, and become more curious about our inner wholeness, and to understand that it's fine to skill build and it's fine to improve and to heal, but not when it's coming from a feeling of deficiency, or it's fine to set goals and to want to create amazing things in our lives. But when it comes from a place of, if I create this, then I will feel loved, then I will feel valued, then I will be okay with myself. And then, of course, if you're trying to create from a feeling of deficiency, you create it, but the feeling of deficiency doesn't go away. And so then there has to be the next thing and the next thing. And so there's an invitation, a strong invitation with this eclipse, is to toss this into the cauldron of transformation, to compost this. And you can say, great, how do I do that? Well, first of all, the energy of this eclipse is supporting you in doing this. So getting conscious about what has been coming up for you around places in yourself that you have been feeling like, oh, I can't believe this is up again. I can't believe I'm acting like this again, or I can't believe I'm still feeling this way. You know, that feeling of, I can't believe I'm this. Toss that into the cauldron, and there's support. There is, in fact, a whole team of healers, Virgo priestesses and healers and medicine people who are at that cauldron with you in the non-physical world, supporting this transformation for you to get really curious about those feelings of deficiency or the feelings of lack of self-worth or shame or whatever it may be, because it could be anything. It's okay to, you know, we can be curious about this. We can offer, spaciousness around this and let these feelings be seen and felt and even loved from something inside of us that is already whole. We came fully loaded with source codes in our heart, in our bodies. Our soul, our spirit is whole already. And so this reset is about becoming more curious about our inner wholeness, more curious about our inner light, so that when we tap into those feelings of lack or whatever, that it's being held in the light of our awareness, of our presence. And when we do that, it automatically dissolves. Not because we're trying to fix it, but because when we give attention and care and love and we allow those voices to be heard within us, they can rest. So this is a very healing eclipse, but it's going to trigger some of that stuff to come up in you. So just be aware of that. It's calling you to be in more presence with yourself. These are the nodes of destiny. So I do want to talk to you about healthy Virgo. Healthy Virgo is devotional, and she honors all life as sacred. Virgo is associated with the Native American goddess of Spider Woman, and Spider Woman co-creates the web of life with spirit. She sees the web and the shimmering web, and she sees what needs to be done to bring things into alignment. And she loves to bring things into alignment. She's a very healing energy. She works with tools of sound and color and herbs and art and plants and all kinds of medicines. The medicine of consciousness and conscious awareness, and she's a great coach and a therapist and a healer. And she's an archetype that lives inside of all of us. And so she can help you discern what is right for you. What's in the web of your life? What's in the curriculum? What's not? How to weave your bright light, your web of light stronger. But she does have this tendency to see the perfection. And so it's just about letting go of, well, that web is never really perfect. There's always more. So Virgo loves to bring the sacred into our daily lives and loves ceremony and practical magic and healing. So Virgo has to do with, how do we create daily habits to bring the sacred into our daily life and to align with that web within us, that soul life within us that has a plan, that knows where it's going. And those plans for many people are changing right now, actually. This is all about reclaiming our body as sacred and how to bring in these expanding multidimensional energies and aspects of ourselves into our bodies and into our daily lives in a way that we can spin of it into something practical, something that is an offering that makes sense, that is a contribution to our lives and to the lives of others in a tangible, practical way. And healthy Virgo does this service for love, because of dedication, because of honoring, because of acting on intuitive guidance, rather than I'm serving because that's how I get love, or an addictive way of doing it. So we're resetting to allowing our processes to be an unfolding process, to allow ourselves to be real, to be human, to have our flaws, And to understand that they are part of our curriculum and part of our unfolding process, and they need love and presence and, deep listening, and through that process, deep healing can emerge, naturally. So now we look at Pisces, which is the north node of the moon, and Virgo is devoted to listening to Pisces for inspiration. And Pisces is also in service to spirit. Pisces is that archetype that's the mystical dreamer, the field of all possibilities. So Virgo is details and focus and analyzing and bringing things into form and practicality. And Pisces is the all, the oneness, the shimmery light. Pisces is healing and intuitive and craves mystical experiences. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, is the culmination point where we take everything and merge it with source and connect to oneness. And there's this, that felt sense that love is the reality that we're swimming in, that felt sense that love is real, that compassion that wells up in us, that kindness, that unconditional love, and being guided by intuition and guidance rather than the mind. And, of course, the mind can help us sort it all out. But, and so you can see how Virgo and Pisces can be amazing helpmates to one another. Pisces is the visionary dreamer, you know, the source. And Virgo is bringing it all down to earth in, tangible, practical ways, and bringing that medicine of repairing our web so that we can hold even more light. And so this is a time of clearing what is in your web that you've been carrying now, or for perhaps for several lifetimes, or perhaps your ancestors carried it. And the energy is so strong at this eclipse because it's so close to the equinox. So the energy is amplified, and because of some other things that are happening, like Pluto and Neptune and Saturn and Uranus are all within 1 degree of, and they are trining all of this. So they are singing and humming and harmonizing together and altering the field and amplifying this process of releasing and letting go and stepping into that beautiful archetype of the medicine person inside of you, the great healer inside of you. And, that will help you and support you in taking practical, grounded steps in the world and bringing in your magic and your gifts. So, let's see, what else would I like to share about that? Well, I do want to talk about Uranus, Pluto, and Neptune. Uranus, at the time of this eclipse and at the time of the equinox, is stationing retrograde, which means its power is amplified, it's stronger, and it's at 1 degree, and Pluto's at 1 degree, and Neptune is at 0 degrees, and they're all at this place. And that, like I said, they're just amplifying each other's energy in creative ways, and they are bringing forth new frequencies, new songs, new energies that we have not been exposed to before because of how they're interacting with each other. These are the great planetary initiators, and they are trining the eclipse and the equinox. So they're just, it's like this, I have this massive wave of consciousness, transformation, awakening that is happening along with this huge release point. It's a huge wave. So Uranus is also conjunct Sedna. They are both at 1 degrees Gemini, and they will be exactly conjunct again in May. And they've been dancing together since July. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about Uranus and Sedna together, because Sedna's energy is being amplified with all of this as well. So Sedna, this is about our soul's growth and our need, it's like, what time is it? What is the sacred timing of now? The sacred timing of now is about surrendering into the flow of what our soul wants to become and what time it is. It is time for our souls to shift the patterns in our lives and for reality itself to shift. And we really, you know, we really can't stop this. And nor should we want to. So Sedna was an Inuit female. She is the Inuit goddess of the oceans and the seas. And she's associated with all of the marine life, particularly the dolphins and the whales and all of the food, the abundance of the harvest of the seas. And, she was once a girl who was married to a man who beat her and abused her. And she called her father to rescue her and he did, but then they both got in big trouble because they were going against the laws of society at that time, which is too bad. If your husband's beating you, you have to stay married to him. And so the villagers came after Sedna and her father, and they got in a rowboat, a kayak or canoe, and they fled, but they came after them. And so Sedna's father threw her into the water to save himself. And she climbed back into the canoe. And when she did, he cut off her fingers so that she could not climb back into the canoe. And her fingers transformed into sea creatures, whales, dolphins, and other sea mammals and creatures. And she transformed into a goddess. And what I find about the story that is most interesting is that she wasn't planning on that. She thought she was just a girl, an ordinary woman, but she was actually, her soul had other plans. She was actually a goddess, and this was the process she went through, and she didn't have to figure it out. She just metamorphosized. And what I find interesting is that this symbolism is so profound, has been all summer, will be again in May. And so this is about letting go of an old reality that is too constrictive, that doesn't work, that is abusive. You know, our extractive economy, the ways that the story of separation and how it has lived in us for many thousands of years, we keep clinging to it. We keep clinging to systems that are familiar to us because it's what we know. The way that we, you know, just the way we've structured our lives and our society and our finances and all of it. It's metamorphosizing and we with it, but we're scared, many of us, because we don't know what's going to happen. We just know that things are crumbling and we know that there's a lot of chaos and, in the world and that old realities are crumbling and we see the shoots. We see and feel the shoots of the new earth, and there are actually people quite far along in cultivating and grounding this, but in the big picture, it's looking pretty scary. And so we have to remember that as we let go of our old reality, which can be painful and full of uncertainty, we are being forced to let go of things that just don't work, just the way Sedna was. And our collective reality is letting go of us in some ways. And in this story, the soul is in charge. Sedna does not make the conscious choice. She's removed from that canoe, that kayak. She keeps trying to climb back into the boat, but her destiny is way too strong and she metamorphosizes into this goddess. And so we, my friends, are also stepping into a whole new curriculum, and it is for us to make space for what is happening. And Sedna is conjunct Uranus. And again, Uranus is really amplified. The eclipse is amplifying the energies of Uranus, the equinox, the other planets that are singing together with Uranus. And then Uranus is stationing retrograde. So it's strong and Sedna's there. And what is Uranus about? It's about sudden awakenings. It is the great awakener. Uranus is interested in shifting our assemblage point. What is our assemblage point? It is how we organize our energy to create an identity. And that identity is changing All of our identities are changing and how we view the world. And Uranus is helping with that. Now, Uranus is also about shifting our energy field. It's associated with our chakras and our meridians and the subtle energetic. And so we are being rewired in some ways for the new, for the future. Human beings are metamorphosizing now and transforming now. And what's happening at this time, this huge release point of releasing this habit of seeing ourselves as somehow deficient, in need, and rather than seeing that great spirit, that great light that is within us and guiding us at all times. And so Uranus is awakening up to us to that and helping us to shift who we think we are, helping us to connect with our enlightened, you know, the awakened mind. And I always think it's interesting what we think of as an awakened mind, and that, or an awakened being, that we think awakened beings are flawless. And that is why we have been so upset that most of the spiritual teachers and gurus that came from the East, they got here, people projected perfection onto them. And of course they were human beings. And because they had no room to work with their own humanness, because they had to be the archetype of the enlightened one, many of them acted out in ways that were very upsetting. And that was also part of our process, to take these people down from to realize that we're all in process all the time, and we need to open up to that compassion for humanness no matter where we are. But that's a digression. Sorry about that. So Uranus is really asking what needs to be disrupted and liberated in your life so that you can experience more freedom, so that you can bring through more of your gifts, more of your sparks of joy and creativity, and live into a new story. And Uranus activates growth and development and helps us to see new perspectives. Uranus is very free thinking, but it is disruptive, and it helps us to let go of our familiar reality. So that is being amplified. But we also have Pluto being amplified at this time. And Pluto is being squared by Mars on the 22nd, actually leading up to this, and for both of these days, and also at the equinox. Pluto is being squared by Mars. Mars is also with the dwarf planet Haumea. And she is this, many of the dwarf planets are also being activated. And let's just say that they are all in their own unique way, symbols and archetypes and energies of the new earth, of a much higher dimensional field, and of regeneration and of fertility of the new earth. And so Mars activates what it touches, its strong will, strong energy. The shadow of Mars is war, so that's there too. But it's also constellating in this fertile new earth energy that we can create with. But it is also activating Pluto at this time. And Pluto is about death, rebirth, regeneration. And Pluto is asking us, and not really asking, Pluto shows us the shadow, the underworld, the corruption, the gunk that was hidden, whether it's in your consciousness or whether it's the world at large, what we have to look at and we have to transform in order to shift where we are to where we're going. We cannot pretend it doesn't exist. So all of the shadow, you know, it is, you know, we see this in our collective reality and in your own reality. You know, this season is all about being able to open up space, being able to open up that space of light and presence within yourself, to have the courage to face what you need to face, what I need to face in ourselves, and to know that there's so much support in releasing and transforming and metamorphosizing and stepping into soul growth and stepping into new curriculum. There are parts of our life that are letting go of us. We are not just letting go of, there are parts of our whole reality that are changing. And there are things that we are consciously letting go of. And seeing. And we also have other
we have Saturn and Neptune are opposite the moon, the eclipsed moon, the moon, the whole eclipse point, and they're also opposite the equinox. So it's interesting because I talked to you about Virgo and Pisces as being these partners in bringing through divine light energy and bringing through visionary realm and heart realm and compassion. And Saturn and Neptune together in conjunction are doing the same thing at an even higher octave. Even more of our light body, of our consciousness, of aspects of our, of what we are, aspects of what we're connected to in the universe, creativity, expansion of dreams and visions in the spirit world. Saturn is making it real, making it tangible, bringing it through. And I'm going to share a story that happened with me when I was questioning, what is this all about, this eclipse? And sometimes I just ask for a vision to show me what is this timing really all about, besides all of the details that I'm sharing with you now. And I'll share with you that story in a minute. But Saturn is also asking us to make the quantum reality real, the spiritual reality real, but it's also asking us to get real with ourselves and to grow and mature through our challenges, and not to shy away from the challenges that we're facing, but to lean into them and to understand that they're part of the process. They're part of this cauldron of transformation. They are part of Pluto's shadows emerging as part of this process, helping us to feel and experience our outdated emotional patterns, and also to experience the energy within us that holds them together. In doing this, quantum leaps are possible, but it can feel sometimes turbulent. Saturn is allowing us to see what we need to finish and complete and to be really clear about it so we can begin the new. Saturn has recently moved back into Pisces, where it will be for a few months until it comes back into Aries in the new year, and will make a exact conjunction to Neptune in February. In 2026, it's going to be all systems go. It's going to be all of the outer planets will have firmly moved into their new signs, and they will be staying there. Right now, they're moving back and forth still in 2025, which is about endings, beginnings, going back over things. What do I need to release? And getting the support energetically from the universe, from your guide team, from your higher self, from benevolent forces, loving forces, you know, that express as these planetary alignments, as above, so below, as within, so without. These are mysteries. I don't really know how these planetary alignments actually affect us any more than I understand how acupuncture works. I've been an acupuncturist for 35 years, but I am still amazed at how you plop, you touch, you know, this web, this invisible web of light with a needle, and healing happens. And these planetary alignments happen and they affect us because they are us. We're all connected. They're just reflecting what they're reflecting, but they're also creating energies and harmonics and shifting realities and frequencies. So, Saturn very strongly here, and Neptune, and it is about making our spiritual reality more real and making conscious choices. And we also have a grand air trine, which is about creativity, new ideas, new perspectives, new paradigms. Air, the winds of change, new ways to communicate and perceive. And these outer planets that are in air, which is Uranus and Pluto, are trining the sun that's moving into Libra on the 22nd. And so they're singing together. And this grand air trine, not with the sun, but planets, a lot of planets in this grand air trine, and for years, air and fire, that they are dynamically, you know, Saturn and Neptune are moving into fire signs, and Pluto and Uranus are in air signs. And those signs are they're called sextiles and trines, and they just activate each other. They really help us over the next few years, but right now in this next season, really strong, activation of this, but it will continue for years, of the winds of change and surrendering to the changes that are happening and inviting in new perspectives, inviting in new visions, inviting in new healing, inviting in the new inventions and the changes that are not linear, that are like, if we take a line from where we are and we think, well, here we are, and if everything just goes like this but worse, or just like this, here's where we're going to be in 5 years. These planetary alignments suggest that there's nothing linear about what's happening now. And time is very funny. We know that we're at the turning of an age. We know that we're shifting over the next into new realities, but we don't know when exactly we're going to see tangible evidence being the dominant paradigm. But we do know, because this is what astrology tells us, and many other beings who channel and who connect to higher consciousness, is that we are helping the world to transition to a new reality. And that as we come into more coherence ourselves, that we become the energy that is needed to be that tipping point. And that if, again, this is like that letting go of that perfection, letting go of looking to see, is the web perfect yet? Well, what is ours? What dreams are we weaving into that web? What healing are we weaving into that web so that web can be the foundation for a new reality? And we're in these very transformative times. You can, you know, if you don't understand some of what I'm saying, you can kind of hear that there's a lot going on. It's all about huge acceleration. Things can be changing very quickly now. This is about quantum leaps that do not follow a straight line. It is about beginnings and endings. And, so the other thing I wanted to tell you is other, dwarf planets are very active. So, during the equinox on September 22nd, when the sun moves into Libra, and again, that's shifting the energy into conscious equal partnerships, relationships, balance and harmony. Libra is an incarnation of Venus, the feminine, peacemaking, beauty, justice and the law. And we have a lot of planets in Libra, the sun, but we also have the moon. We have Mercury, and we have Maki Maki, which is another dwarf planet that is also carrying the energy and the frequencies of regeneration, things being birthed out of the old, things being birthed out of total destruction to be birthed anew, new life, new. So we've got Haumea, which is, you know, the Hawaiian fertility gods, got Maki Maki from the Easter Islands, conjunct the moon at the time of the equinox. So these are these shimmering, multidimensional energies that are being constellated into our world, into our consciousness, into our bodies, into our energy, that we're releasing and resetting so that we can hold these frequencies and so that we can create with them in tangible, practical ways as well. So, Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, and all of these dwarf planets are helping us to awaken and transform so that we can bring these qualities into the world, so that we can create with them. And we also have opposite the moon is Selassie. Selassie is Chiron, the great healing centaur, his wife, and she is that being who absolutely knows how to shapeshift. She was a mermaid and she fell in love with Chiron, so she shapeshifted from a mermaid to a centaur so that she could live life with him on Earth. And she is associated with the shimmering healing presence that holds space for us to have our processes. And she also taught Chiron how to transform into his light body and shapeshift from a wounded centaur into a constellation, into his light body. She taught him that, but she also helped hold space for his healing process. He was a great healer, but he had someone holding space for him. And so this energy is very present, that energy of presence holding space. So I want to share with you a story. that, so I took a walk. A few things happened. Number one, I'm visiting my mother for 3 weeks in New York, and I'm in Montauk Point where she lives. And it's very trippy here. Some of you might have heard of the Montauk Project. It's a very wild energy here, and I love it. And, I love to take walks early in the morning with my dog at the beach, and it's September, so I was walking, at about 7 a.m., nobody was on the beach that I could see, and it was a gray day, and it's like this gray, beautiful day, and the ocean was wild, and I was walking, and I really set my intention to understand on a much deeper level than what I've just shared with you, what is this eclipse and equinox window about for us and for me? So I'm going to share my own process, and it's with the intention of it highlighting something for you. So in my own process, I do feel like this eclipse energy and this Mars squaring Pluto, which is really activating very deep transformation. And as I said, shadows come to light. And so I was invoking this in myself, asking to see what I needed to see and feel what I needed to feel to step into a greater coherence with these new light codes that are coming in. For us and for me. And so I immediately started to feel really sad about something old in my life. I'm not going to go into details, but when I was a child, I had a lot of, I call them the golden ha-has. I had a lot of imaginary beings that I felt loved by. And I believe that I could feel and see. And, but I felt very alone in the world of people. And I still do sometimes. I mean, not all the time, but it's something that will come up for me. And in my work in the world, I have in my office, partnerships with light beings, with doctors and healers that do not have physical bodies. And, they're part of my team, and I've been working with them for decades. And I was feeling this really strong. I was thinking about, you know, Virgo bringing things into form and bringing the Piscean magic into form, and Neptune and Saturn conjunct bringing spirit into form. And I just said, I was feeling my sadness, aloneness, some abandonment. Blah, you left me here. And I was like, I want to see and feel you more in the physical world of form. And then all of a sudden, someone from behind me said, hey, look out there. There's a whale. And it was gray, and she said, look at the light, which is so funny. So there was like this crack in the clouds, and this beam of light was coming through, and it was hitting the ocean, and exactly where it was hitting this ocean on this thin line, a whale was in the water, and it breached just when I looked. This big, like, big breach, and I felt this wave of energy. Now, I happen to feel very connected with the Sirian healers, the healers from the planet Sirius. And they are associated with being blue iridescent. That is the blue planet, blue energies, blue iridescent healing energies. And I often see blue iridescent healing energies in my treatment room, all over the place, actually. This whale, and whales and dolphins are associated with the Sirian healing beings and from that planet, emissaries. And I happen to believe that. So I was feeling in particular like missing my people who aren't here. So the whale comes out, but I was still kind of in my, nobody loves me, nobody cares, I'm alone, and you didn't come here in body, and blah, 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 blah. And so what I said to myself was, well, whales live in the ocean. You're going to have to do better than that if you want me to actually feel that you are here. So I'm being kind of really taught. I'm sharing my shadow. I'm sharing my not enough. I'm alone. I'm poor me. And then all of a sudden I heard a voice. How about this? And I look out of my eyes, and the ocean goes iridescent blue. The gray clouds are tinged with iridescent blue, and I see thousands of orbs, blue iridescent orbs. And then I just started laughing like, oh my God, thank you. And I felt beyond the visuals, I felt this love in my heart that was connected to the love of the universe. It was quite a moment. And why am I sharing this with you? Because I was asking not just for me. Yes, my own personal gunk, my own personal challenge, emotional challenges came up. But this making spirit tangible, I really believe that We are getting so much help. And whether we see it or not, we can feel that presence of unconditional love that is holding us through this. These, as I've shared with you, these planetary initiators are holding you through this. They are stepping you through doorways. They are stepping up your energy field. They are pulling up things that need to be pulled up so that you can release them. They are helping you. We are getting so much help. And I fully believe that energy, that healing energy that for me looks like iridescent blue is in our waters now, is in our clouds, is on the earth. It is here. And another funny part of that story is Jupiter's in Cancer right now, and it happens to be making a very strong aspect in my own chart. And when my son was about 9 or 10, I was studying with a shaman who would take me into the wilderness with a few other people for training. And he was a big believer in drumming and chanting and meditating, and being in nature is the medicine. And there wasn't herbal medicine, let us say, as part of this training. But we went to Mount Shasta, and this training was all about seeing and experiencing spiritual energies, making the invisible visible. And so I asked if I could bring my son along, because he was at that age where children forget. They forget they forget the magic of their early childhood right around age 9 and 10. And so I thought, well, I'll bring him and maybe he'll remember. Maybe he'll be old enough to remember. Anyway, we did the ceremony in this beautiful field, and we saw thousands of orbs. The beings that live at Mount Shasta, we saw their light bodies, thousands. And it was very memorable for me. And what happened is that when I got home and I started to reflect on what had happened at the beach, I realized that it was my own, you could say, higher self or inner beloved or guide team or whatever you want to call spirit, Syrian High Council, whatever you want to call it, was seeing this very young part of me, this child in me, that also needed to remember in a pretty technicolor dream with the fireworks of the magic, because I was doubting. I was there was a part of me that was doubting, like, are we ever going to get okay as a species? Are we am I living in a dream world that I feel so connected to this cosmic love and light, and yet I'm living in a world with more war, with so much war and people, you know what's happening. So it was this, like, yes, this is all here. This is all happening. It's not necessarily coming into form in our time frame, but we are those change agents. We are the weavers of the new reality, and we don't know how it's all going to show up. But in our individual lives, or in our group lives, in our collective lives, in our shared communities, there is magic afoot. And there is magic afoot in the world. In addition to the chaos and the unraveling that is happening, there is also great magic afoot, and we must attune to that and come into coherence with that so that we can bring more magic into the world. And I do want to just share a ritual with you that this same shaman taught me to do, that I think is a very beautiful Virgo ritual. And I'm going to add something to it that I learned in another group that I was in. So the ritual is a water ritual. And if you want to, you can do this. It's taking a glass of water or a little jar filled with water that's glass, and taking it out in the morning and holding it up to the sun and just watching the sun's rays fill that water, and then setting your intentions for the day, for yourself, for the earth, for all of life, and then offering that water to the earth, just a little bit, feed the earth. And then that water becomes your tincture for the day, and you're drinking it, and it's nourishing you and helping with the changes. Setting those intentions into form, or you could just say the word love, peace, something you want to, equality that you'd like to experience into the water. And then it will be there also charged with the sun. Very beautiful to do on the equinox, by the way. And so another thing you could do with water, which I have my students do when we do soul retrieval and other forms of spirit medicine, is you, before you go to bed at night, put some water on your nightstand and you can ask for healing dreams. You can ask for guidance. You can even talk about different aspects of yourself that need healing, physical healing or emotional. And you can ask for a team of beings that loves you unconditionally, that comes from love and kindness to all, harm to none, to work with you while you sleep and to put into the water frequency medicine that will support your growth and healing, and then drink it when you wake up. It's another really lovely process. Anyway, bye for now. Sending lots of love.